In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." When the Bible tells us, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness," God is showing here that he is a plural being. That is, this passage shows us that God is composed of more than one. This passage is implying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is why God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." But today in this lesson, we want to focus in on the fact that man is made in the image of God, that man is made after the likeness of God. Man is not God, and he never will be, but man is like God in some ways. And man is made in the image of God. Now, that image of God cannot be a physical image, because God is spirit. God is not a being of flesh and bones. He is not a being that has a physical body like we do. He made us with a physical body, but he does not have a body that is material. So this must mean, then, that we are made in the spiritual likeness and the spiritual image of God. This means that we have a soul. It means that we have a spirit which is from God. We have a body, but we also have a spirit. And so, as some people say, we are dual beings. We are body and spirit. Now, the spirit comes from God. The body comes from the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth will return to the earth. The spirit will return to God, who will judge that soul. This means that we have the ability to reason. Now, animals don't have that. Animals act by instinct that God placed within them. They do what God has programmed them to do, so to speak. We have reason. We have the ability to figure things out. Animals don't have that at all. God gave us that capacity. When he made us in his image, when he made us in his likeness, he gave us intelligence. He gave us reason. But he also gave us this. Being made in the image of God and in the likeness of God means that we have a conscience. It means that we have a sense of right and wrong. It means that we have what some people would call moral oughtness. The sense that there are some things that we ought to do and that there are some things that we ought not to do. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from God. That is the result of you and I being made in the image or the likeness of God. You have a conscience within you. That conscience did not come from the dust of the ground. That conscience could not have come from the earth. That conscience had to come from God himself. And when God created us, when God created mankind, he gave us this thing that the Bible calls the conscience. But here's something else that is involved in the fact that you and I are made in the image of God Almighty. And that is the fact that we have a will. We have free will. We have the ability to choose. You and I are free will beings. This is how God made us. Now, there are many people that deny this. There are many people that really don't face up to this. There are all kinds of movements and theories that are designed to deny that we have free will. But the Bible shows that we do. The Bible says in Joshua 24, verse 15, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Now, Joshua was talking to the people of Israel, and he told them to make a choice. He implied that they had the ability to choose. The entire Bible teaches this. Moses, the Bible says, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. The Bible also says this in James 1, verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So when a man does good, he chooses to do good. And when a man does evil, he chooses to do evil. We have a will. Now, when people don't acknowledge what we're looking at here in this lesson, when they don't realize, when they don't understand, or when they fail to admit or recognize that we are made in the image of God, and that being made in the image of God involves all these things, folks, that is going to affect their whole way of thinking. That is going to affect their whole outlook and their whole perspective on life. The reason that so many people today are confused and mixed up about life and about right and wrong and about the way that things ought to be is because they don't understand these basics that we're talking about. They do not understand that God is. They do not understand the kind of God that God is. They do not understand man. They don't understand the nature of man. That's why we're looking at this lesson. That's why we're talking about these basics. Because in order for people to see the world and to see life as they should, they must understand the nature of man. They must see man as God created him, and as God describes us. Now, this passage says that we're more than animals. This passage says that we are spiritual beings. Now, think about it from this standpoint. Think about what happens when people either deny or ignore the fact that we are created in the image of God. If we recognize that we have a soul, then that's going to affect the way that we look at each other. But if we deny or we ignore the fact that each one of us has a soul, that's going to affect the way that we treat each other. That's going to affect the way that we see each other. That's going to affect our entire life. Secondly, when we look at the fact that God gave us the ability to reason, we can look at that and become prideful. We can look at our ability to reason and forget about the fact that God gave us that ability, and just pride ourselves in our intelligence and feel proud of all the things that we've figured out and of all the opinions that we have. We can do that and ignore God. Or we can admit, we can acknowledge that God gave us the ability to reason. We can be thankful for that, and we can be humble in His sight. You see, it affects everything that you do. Whether we acknowledge God and the way that He made us, or whether we ignore God and the fact that He made us the way that we are. And what about the conscience of man? We can look at the conscience in two different ways. We can say, well, you know, the conscience is just there. It's just something that men have come up with over the years. It's there by tradition or culture, or people have just been educated to think that they have a conscience. And this whole idea of feeling guilty about something is something that society has just imposed upon us. It's something that's perhaps thousands of years old, but it's of human origin. Now, people can look at it in that way. And if they do, then they're going to try to eradicate the conscience. They're going to try to live their life by ignoring the conscience. On the other hand, if we realize that the conscience came from God, then we're going to realize that we are responsible to Him for how we act. We're going to understand that we're accountable to God, and that conscience is there to remind us of the fact that we answer to a power that is higher than ourselves. We answer to the supreme being, to God the Creator Himself. And then, of course, when you look at this thing that we call the will, the free will of man, folks, the way that we look at man's nature in regard to free will affects everything that we do. You see, there are people that try to tell us that we don't really have free will, that we don't really choose, that we're not really responsible for what we do. There are people that are telling us every day that we're just the product of our heredity, that we're just the way that we are because of our genetic makeup, that we're not responsible when we do something because, after all, our genes make us do that. And then there are people that say that we're just the product of our environment, that we do what we do simply and only because we were raised that way or because we grew up in a certain environment. And so these are the people that say that a drunkard is not responsible for his drinking because, after all, he inherited that. Or they say that a homosexual is the way that he is because of his genetic makeup. Or that a thief steals because he grew up in a certain environment, that he was raised in a certain kind of neighborhood. Well, folks, the Bible denies this shifting of blame, where people try to excuse themselves by placing the blame on somebody or something else. Well, the Bible plainly denies that. The Scriptures plainly teach that we choose what we do. If we do wrong, it's because we've chosen to do wrong. If we do right, it's because we have chosen to do right. Otherwise, how could God hold us responsible? How could God judge us in the last day if we weren't responsible, if we did not choose the actions of our lives? Well, we do. And our society is trying its best to get away from this teaching. And our society at the same time needs this teaching. People need to be taught, they need to understand that they have a will, that if they've done wrong, they're responsible, that if they're going to do right, they have to choose to do right. The responsibility is on our shoulders. Now, this is an unpopular message today, but it's a message that needs to be taught. And if we're going to firmly teach this message, then we're going to have to anchor it in the creation itself. And that's why I wanted to go back today to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where the Bible says that God made us in His image. He made us after His likeness. That means that you and I have a soul. That means that you and I have the capacity to reason. That means that you and I have a conscience. And that means that you and I have free will, the ability to make choices. And especially, we have the ability to choose between right and wrong. We have the capacity to make moral decisions and moral choices in this life. How we look at ourselves in this way, whether we admit these things or deny these things, is going to affect our entire outlook on life. And there's no way for us to see through all the moral confusion that is characteristic of this age unless we go back to the creation account found in Genesis chapter 1, and unless we continue to emphasize what the Bible says, that is, God made us in His own image.